Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show is coming up from 9 to 11 today. That will be Sparky with Mason from 9 to 11. Mitch still off in the distance. He'll be back later this week. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, the two wonderful gentlemen, Paul Farrington, Ziggy of the Paul Farrington Show. You can find them on social media at Farrington Show. They're going to also be guests on the Pack-A-Day podcast all season long, as I am going to be guests on their Paul Farrington Show all season long as well. I'm really excited for that. Fellas, welcome into the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, yeah. We're really looking forward to the collab during the season. We just announced that on our show last night, and you're a very, very well-loved man, Andy. I mean, people really like you. The comment section was going crazy when we said it.
That's why I had you guys on, for the compliments. The check is in the mail. Appreciate that. Ziggy, how you doing, my friend?
Living the life, Andy. Living the life.
Glad to hear. This is the
studio in New Jersey with Paul.
This is the first time we've had two people on simultaneously, so I'm very excited about this. It's fitting that it's you guys. So for those of you unfamiliar, Paul and Ziggy are Vikings fans and very closeted Packers fans, even if they will not admit to it. It's a very interesting dynamic. They have a ton of Packers fans that join their show every single week. I probably am not doing it justice. So guys, I will let you define what your role is in the bizarro Venn diagram of Packers Vikings communities.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre world, especially because I know how intense the rivalry is, especially when you're out in Minnesota and Wisconsin. You know, we're out here, and maybe that's why actually it works, is because we're in Jersey and we don't get the full heat of it. But yeah, we just, during the Jordan Love, during his come up in 2023, as we were kind of soaking in the misery of this is really going to happen again in Green Bay, a third quarterback, Packer fans, and it was kind of twisted, but Packer fans just, you know, they love Viking fan misery, and that's where we were able to build an audience. Was every time Jordan Love played well, we would be upset, and every time we were upset, more Packers fans would watch, until eventually it was like, okay, this is actually working, like, financially. So,
I mean, you'd think winning Super Bowls would be enough to sort of satisfy Packers fans. Nope. But they also want to revel in our misery. Yeah. So we're happy to provide. There's plenty of opportunities every year of the Minnesota Vikings. That's just how it is.
Well, we appreciate all of that. And yes, like, the Packers winning is on the upper echelon of everything Packers related. But a small step below that is Vikings and Bears misery is also, it also feeds families here in Green Bay and obviously in New Jersey apparently as well. So no, we love that. And like I said, really looking forward to the collaboration all year long with you guys. It's going to be a ton of fun. I want to start off with talking some Minnesota Vikings and kind of getting a lay of the land of what's going on in Minnesota. Then we'll kind of talk some Packers as well. Let's start with how the Vikings have kind of put everything. Actually, I don't want to even start that. I want to start with the most important question, which is J.J. McCarthy. This is going to be the piece that shapes so much of not just the Minnesota Vikings, but I think he and Caleb Williams are going to shape so much of the NFC North, not just in 2025, but for the foreseeable future. The difference in trajectories of if those two are either like stars or legitimate franchise quarterbacks or just fine, or they just can't play. Like, there is a wide range of possible outcomes for those two that changes the NFC North in a really significant way. Let's start with J.J. McCarthy. How confident are you guys feeling going into this season for J.J.?
The confidence is wavering consistently. I have days where I step back and I go like, all right, this really should work. KOC has been a quarterback whisperer. He gets the best out of everyone. Really, J.J. just needs to step in and not make mistakes for this team to be good. Now, at the same time, we've been saying this lately, the Vikings can be very good with a mediocre J.J. McCarthy. I don't think there's really a world where they're NFC championship game. I mean, if we want to start getting a little delusional and talking Super Bowl, we can. But there's no real world where that happens without J.J. McCarthy being a very good, yep, essentially rookie quarterback this season. But then there are other days I wake up and I go like, oh my gosh, there's just barely any great film from Michigan. It's like he's been hurt. So I think that the thing with McCarthy at this point to me is we just got to see him on Monday Night Football. And like, I'm sure there will be hiccups because, again, he hasn't started in a regular season game yet. So a little patience is required, especially for a team with such high expectations. But right now, I'm all over the place. I could see a world where the Vikings win six games this year. I could see a world where they win 11 games and threaten the division.
I certainly get some confidence from the fact that, I mean, Kirk Cousins went down week 8 of the 2023 season. Since then, our quarterbacks have been Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall, and Sam Darnold. And over that stretch, the Vikings have played a lot of pretty good football. Mm-hmm. So the coaching staff, KOC, the whole offense that's in there, even if J.J. McCarthy's not great to start, I think he's probably better than Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. I certainly hope so.
Oh, please.
Yep. And we've been able to get it done with a motley crew of quarterbacks up to this point.
You certainly have. And I think that's one of the selling points, right, is that there are very few quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that are going into, theoretically, a better situation than Kevin O'Connell as your head coach and offensive designer, Josh McCown as quarterback's coach, having a really good running back stable, including former Packer Aaron Jones in the backfield, TJ Hockenson as your safety valve at tight end. And then, oh, by the way, you know, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and maybe Adam Thielen as well. We'll kind of see if anything happens there. But that's an unbelievable situation to go into. Good offensive line as well. He's got everything that you should be able to, you know, kind of take a first round pick and just let him grow beautifully in that offense. But I think, again, that's sort of the beautiful mystery of everything. And Packers fans are not unfamiliar with this. There was still a lot of those questions, even when Aaron Rodgers had time to sit and went in for the first time, when Jordan Love went in for the first time as a starter. I mean, I'm sure you guys maybe remember this too. The trade deadline of Jordan Love's first season, when they traded away Rasul Douglas, Brian Gutekunst at that trade deadline is like, yeah, the second half of the season is going to be really big for Jordan, basically intimating that, like, we're about to find out if he can actually be the franchise quarterback. Had not had that contract extension done yet. And going into that, it was like, yeah, we have no idea, basically. And then he tore it up in the second half of 2023. And now here we are with, you know, Jordan, the franchise quarterback. But there are, I'm sure, going to be some highs and lows for McCarthy. But how quickly he can, you know, click in that offense is going to be of huge importance for you guys, obviously, as you start the season. As we all know, this NFC North, just a brutal schedule for everyone in the division.
It's terrible. It's really tough for Caleb and JJ. I mean, it's almost kind of fun that they get to play each other week one, right?
Yes.
And test out. Same thing with the Lions and the Packers. Like, you have, I think in most people's opinions, the top two teams in the division playing each other week one. And then it's almost like a litmus test for each team. Like, okay, who is the team to beat? And then which of these bottom two teams is going to be the challenger?
I think so too. I think that's going to be really interesting. And I love that week one matchup. But like, Vikings Bears is one of those games that usually I'm like, I don't really want to watch it because I don't want to see either of you guys, you know, succeed in that situation. This one is to me must watch because, you know, what if it's like a shootout and McCarthy and, you know, Caleb just look both amazing for the NFL? That's awesome. For a Packers fan, it's a nightmare situation. Obviously, if one of them looks amazing, the other looks terrible, it's like you're 50-50 or whatever. And if they both look bad, you're like, okay, well, it's Detroit and us, and we'll figure out the rest of it later. But that to me is a really interesting situation going into that Monday night game. And it's, to me, going to be must-watch television for those two quarterbacks and see where they're at in their current development. Speaking of the quarterback position in Minnesota, you guys just recently made a trade. Is your best quarterback, by the way, your undrafted free agent out of the University of Minnesota? I know there's a lot of I'm saying that facetiously, but there's been a lot of buzz about him. In the meantime, they trade away Sam Howell to Philadelphia. I'm going to be honest. I was surprised that you guys actually were able to get something in return. I think it made a lot of sense. And then picking up Carson Wentz as well. Just an interesting quarterback situation right now for you guys.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw a player get traded for look terrible in preseason and then you get more back than you gave for them. Like, that's a very rare combination of factors, I think.
Agreed.
Sam Howell is not a bad player. We've seen him play good stretches of football. It just was not clicking with Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings offense. You need to be able to run that. I think the big story from adding Carson Wentz, as he said, actually is Max Brosmer coming in and taking that QB3 job. Wentz is not a backup I think I'm super comfortable relying on. He could be a lot better than your average backup. Obviously, he's played good stretches of football before, but I was not impressed with what I saw in Kansas City from Carson Wentz. I think his career is probably mostly over. He might get the Kevin O'Connell boost and sign a Daniel Jones contract somewhere next year. Who knows? But I'm really excited to see what Brosmer is going to be able to do for this team now that he's in there, in the unfortunate situation that J.J. McCarthy goes down, which I'm not going to think about anymore.
Yeah, that's like the nightmare, right? Is that we have Wentz or Brosmer actually playing this season. So, like, hopefully this is all just kind of, you know, insurance policies that never come to fruition. But, and throughout the training camp, too, it was, as Viking fans as well as, you know, podcasters, I'm always just, like, Googling news. Like, I think my default Google search is I just start typing Minnesota Vikings. And you would see throughout the training camp, it's like, another bad day for Sam Howell. And it just kind of kept going and going until that Patriot game where, if you haven't seen the interception yet, it was just horrendous. He had a really nice week one against the Texans, but then all those negative things that we'd been hearing about, unfortunately, came true against New England. And I think that was kind of the final nail in the coffin for Sam.
And to your point, like it getting more than what you traded for him, and you also mentioned for Wentz, you maybe get that Kevin O'Connell bump. I'm in the situation where, like, if he's already on his third team in Minnesota, Washington, and then Seattle, right? And then Minnesota, and it doesn't work with Kevin O'Connell and that offense. If you're just like, to me, I'm shocked he almost had trade value, because if he can't work there, like, where are you going to work? Now, Philly is maybe the only answer to that, where they can, again, just find people and develop them out of nowhere. But I was surprised that you guys were able to get something. To me, the difference between Howell and Wentz is probably negligible at this point. So you pick up basically the same guy you already had as a free agent, and then you were able to pick up picks in return for Howell. And then obviously Brosmer is the one that, again, has maybe a little bit more upside there. That to me, that was a no brainer and probably a really smart move for Minnesota in that situation. Let's talk some Packers. As you guys watch this Packers team, again, you're kind of keeping close tabs on them as well. What are you focused on for them as we get into cutdown day, and you know, just some of the buzz surrounding the Packers so far?
Well, the two big position groups that everybody knew to pay attention to for the Packers going into this offseason were cornerbacks and wide receivers, and I don't think that's changed very much going into cutdown day. I'm starting to wonder. I mean, Kalen King had a big standout, and Bo Melton has, as he talked about just before he came on, has really transformed and played very well at cornerback this year. I think those guys are probably both making the roster. If the Packers only go into the season with five cornerbacks they can be confident in, I start to get worried about the depth in the room. Similarly, with wide receiver, I know a lot of fans were excited about Mecole Hardman when he got added, but he's on the roster bubble too. The other player I'm sort of looking at here, another guy who was really exciting when he came in but has had ups and downs, is Isaiah Simmons. I know he finished preseason really strong, but just in general, I think the depth of those cornerback and wide receiver rooms is a huge thing to pay attention to when you get into cutdown day. It'll be certainly something our Minnesota Vikings are watching, as we are also a team that has desperate needs in the cornerback and wide receiver room.
I think also, too, with the Nate Hobbs injury, even though it's nothing significant, like paying attention to what's happening in the corner room is big, too, because if he can't go week one against Detroit. Right now, though, it's trending like he's going to play, right? Last time I saw, I think.
I'm sorry, you said Nate Hobbs, or who is that?
Yeah, Nate Hobbs.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a chance to play for week one, but we have not seen him do anything as of late. So to me, that is very much up in the air at the moment, and we just don't know which way that's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like, obviously he should be fine as far as full season's concerned, but like, yep. that Packer Lion game week one could have major ramifications down the rest of the schedule. So like, yeah, the cornerback room especially. We actually were talking right before we hopped on, Andy. Where do you stand right now on Isaiah Simmons? If you don't mind me like flipping the question over to you.
Just special. No, absolutely. Special teams is to me, that's it. Like, you don't want him on the field on defense. I do think he makes the team as the fifth linebacker. He's the top gunner on special teams. Like, I think he's got that spot made, but I think he is a specialist only. And could you like, so there's, I talked about this on the podcast today. There's two plays last year in New York where he lines up as a middle linebacker, and they drop both safeties down into the box, and Isaiah Simmons screams back to center field to play single high safety. Like, there's nobody, like maybe one or two other guys in the league that maybe, and I mean maybe, could pull off doing something like that. And he has the athleticism and the background actually playing defensive back to do something like that, like on a weird bizarro play, right? So like, you could show like a double A gap blitz with like Edgerrin Cooper and Isaiah Simmons, and then bring Cooper, have like your two safeties flow into the box, and Simmons scream back to deep safety, and like, he has the ability to do that. So if you want to do that, spy, use him as a QB spy, or actually blitz him on a double A gap. Like, if you've got 15 plays for him in the playbook and you use him like 30 snaps on the season with those 15 plays or something, he can probably do something like that. But any sort of full-time role or anything like that, I don't think you want anything to do with that on defense. But on the meantime, you've got a linebacker that can go out and be a gunner on special teams. He's unique enough where I think he makes it, but yeah, you don't want him playing full-time defense, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seemed like that. Like, he was someone who had a lot of hype coming in. I remember our comment section was filled with people who were like, was this the move of the offseason? And then just kind of like, gradually as the training camp's gone on, it's like, oh, maybe not.
I mean, that's been the Isaiah Simmons story. Every team gets really excited when they add him, and then the fans watch him play.
Well, it's because of the stuff that Andy's talking about, right? Like, you see the physical traits. You're like, how can this guy not be amazing? And sometimes it just doesn't click.
It was just crazy. I mean, you get that top 10 pick and it doesn't work somewhere. And then he comes in and there's exciting plays in training camp. And for Green Bay, it was sort of the Devondre Campbell story, right? Like Devondre Campbell was a fourth round pick, didn't work in Atlanta and Arizona. And he comes to Green Bay and he's a first team all pro. And we saw it a little bit with Zach Bond in Philly, right? Like he did not work in New Orleans at all. He goes to Philly last year and all of a sudden he gets a new team and he breaks out. I think people just have images of that in their head. And Isaiah Simmons comes over, it's former top 10 pick. And now he gets to a new D and, you know, Jeff Hafley's going to transform him and he's sounding really great in camp, and then you see him out on the field in those first few preseason games, you're just like, oh no, we're good, he can stay on special teams, and that's probably where he's ultimately going to find himself. We're being joined by Paul and Ziggy, the Paul Farrington Show. Follow him on social media at Farrington Show, and again, you're going to find him on the Pack-A-Day podcast this season, as well as we break down Packers, Vikings, and all things NFC North. All right, fellas, before I get you out of here, Packers, Vikings 2025. Obviously, two matchups down the road. So much can happen between now and when they actually play each other. But how are you feeling just in general about these two teams when they match up and the state of the NFC North going into this season?
Well, I mean, last season, you know, I like to look back on history. And last season was a great success for the Vikings against the Packers both times. No, I'm just joking around.
It was.
I think it's fun. I think it's actually good for both teams that they're playing each other later in the season. Now, it'll probably bode poorly for one of them. But both of these teams right now with Jordan Love, with the injury again, he'll be fine. But like the Packers seem to be a team that get going later on in the season. And the Vikings, I think you want to kind of iron out the kinks with J.J. McCarthy early on. So it's nice to get a couple of those divisional games later. I think right now, if you press me for who's going to win each one, I feel like a home-and-home split seems appropriate this season. Yep. They're both really talented rosters, and that's really the thing with the entire NFC North, right? We've discussed this as well, but between us on some other shows, the NFC North is loaded. Like, I'm completely loaded. If you look at pure talent and the completeness of these rosters, they are just great. And I have a hard time saying anyone other than maybe Detroit is going to go and sweep other teams just because, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs that we've seen the Packers, Vikings, and Bears have over the past 2 years. Well, Detroit's the only one who's kind of just been like a bruiser for 3 years now.
Yeah, I mean,
let me ask you. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say one thing that it's difficult to project ahead, but both of these are also teams that have real issues with depth at key positions. Obviously, wondering, you know, the last game in the series is Week 18. Who will be healthy for Week 18? I have no idea, but both these teams are going to have to make some additions at cornerback and wide receiver, I think, throughout the season that can make a big difference.
I think that's going to be a key piece to this as well. But again, before we get you out of here, just really quick, as you watch Packers-Lions week one, who you root for in that game? As I'm watching Vikings-Bears, I'm probably slightly cheering for the Bears just because I think they're probably a little bit of the worst team. So I probably cheer slightly for the Bears in that one. I maybe just want a tie. I'll probably cheer for tie. Tie would be great. Like both teams score 10 points and tie. Like that signed me up for that. But as you watch Packers Lions, what is your rooting interest other than again chaos?
I'm pretty sure, and I've given this some thought, I'm almost undoubtedly rooting for the Packers in that game. Which, you know, I need to be careful when I say rooting for it. Yeah, again, like
I'm clipping that and I'm playing that on social media. I'm rooting for the Packers. You heard it from Paul Farrington.
I'm not going to be like out here outwardly going like, all right, GPG, baby, after Jordan Love throws a touchdown. But I do think that the Lions are the biggest threat, in my opinion. And like, look, it could flip to the Packers if Love reclaims that 2023 form. But I view Detroit as the biggest threat to the North, maybe even the entire NFC, honestly. So sure. I with how difficult their schedule is early, it would be awesome to just see them drop game after game. And they'd probably make it up as the season goes on. But I want to see Detroit get in the hole early and start to have some problems because they really have been almost unstoppable for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, this Lions team won 15 games last year and is bringing back a lot of important players who they missed due to injury. If any team is going to, as you said, sweep the division, it would be the Lions. So taking a loss week one gives me some hope that the Vikings can squeeze through in some scrappy battles and win the division.
I got to get both of you guys out of here, but really quick, what's your Vikings prediction for this season? What's the record coming up in 2025?
let's be optimistic. I'm going to say that we are a 10-win team, and we sneak into a wild card.
I'm more realistic. 8 wins, no playoffs, but JJ McCarthy looks good.
Okay. I think both of those are within the realm of possibility. I think they're fair predictions. And I don't think either of those are like glass half full Viking fan optimism. It's a really good roster. I have a lot of faith in Kevin O'Connell, as much as it pains me to say that. And I think JJ McCarthy can be good as well. But as a Packers fan, I hope you're both wrong and they go 1-16, but we'll see what actually ends up happening. I cannot thank you guys enough. Tell everyone where we can find all of your wonderful work.
You can find us over, primarily we're on YouTube, Paul Farrington Show, and then the Twitter handle is Farrington Show, and that's where you can catch us on Instagram as well, and TikTok. We have some short form content, and appreciate you saying 1-16, Andy. That one win would mean
thanks
something.
For the win.
Yeah.
You can take down the Lions for a game. We'll appreciate you guys helping us out a little bit in that regard. So yeah. One win against the Lions is acceptable. We'll allow it.
Appreciate guys, it. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you so much. Follow them at Farrington Show. Excited to be talking with them all season long. Ziggy and Paul, we'll do this again very, very soon. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your day.
You as well, Andy. Talk soon. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Huge thank you to both of them for joining on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Make sure, again, to follow them at Farrington Show. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We're going to be right back right after this.